If you're a facilities manager at a university, you know students rely on the cafeteria for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and the occasional late-night snack. So when a dishwasher breaks down and dirty plates pile up, the mess hall can turn messy in the blink of an eye. Enter Grainger. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast delivery, the product you need now is never far away. So you can turn that dishwasher back into a lean, clean washing machine. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
I'm alive. I'm back and I'm alive. So I know we didn't have a week there. I'm behind on a lot of podcasts. And really, it's because I had the flu. Well, of course, they didn't officially diagnose me with the flu. I went into the doctor's office. They ran a bunch of tests. The two different flu tests and an RSV came back as test invalid. But then, of course, the COVID test came back negative. So I definitely didn't have COVID. But I started getting the joint achiness, and I had a bit of a night of chills. I'm like, okay, I seem to be running a fever. So I was like, I probably do have some version of the flu. But either way, I got a physical on Friday, and I'll have them give me some flu shots just to kind of be, you know, on the safe side. Although I probably did get the flu. But I was sick. I could not speak. I'm mostly back now, I think. My voice is back. I haven't tested it by talking in long amounts of time. I don't know if I can sing in the church choir for our Christmas program. I really don't know. But I've got a warm drink here, and I've got some orange juice, and I have a little bit of mucus somewhere in the back of my, not quite in my throat, but in the back of my sinuses. Still kind of there, still occasionally coughing some stuff and getting some stuff out of myself. But between that and then Phillip's, recovering from his knee surgery, we haven't done much with watching movies with my pastor. Because I couldn't talk, I wasn't able to do any playing Final Fantasy VII with my wife as a side episodes while Philip was recovering. And I thought, hey, here's my Christmas vacation. I'll be able to record some stuff. And I got a hold of Philip yesterday, said, all right, we need to watch a movie and maybe record a Fandom Nexus, because I wanted to talk to him. As you know, my plans had been to cover multiple episodes of Christmas television shows. And things just didn't quite work out that way. But I wanted to talk to him about the Andy Griffith Show episode. And we couldn't get that happening yesterday. He had other things going on. And so I woke up this morning and said, I need to get an episode out because the next couple of Wednesdays are Christmas and New Year's. And if I have anything that releases on that Wednesday, because I've been releasing on Wednesdays lately. If I have anything that releases, it'll be amazing. It's a holiday. You won't be listening to it on that time. So I'm not really planning to do a year in review, but I don't know, maybe we'll do a thing. But I don't really do like a lot of news stuff so much anymore. So I don't know. I don't know that I'm going to do a year in review, and I don't know what I'd release on Christmas Day other than maybe I'll dig up an old episode. Remember, we read the Clement Moore poem Night Before Christmas, which I think it's actually got a different name when you look at the actual one. But I think I had some people join me in reading it. And we also, I think, one time read the Christmas story. And I'm thinking maybe I dig that up and we share that. So that'll be fun for next week. I'll still have something to release if I can get it around and arranged, and I got to go and find the audio and all that kind of stuff. But I'm pretty sure I can make that happen. So I'll try to get something out to you. But I wanted to get something out at least for this week because I missed a week from being sick. And I do have some Christmas episodes and kind of one special, but it's sort of an episode. And I watched them these past few weeks, or even just this week, and I wanted to share those with you this week, so we'll do that, but I actually do have a little bit of news this week. I really should have button B, because that's the second one I would hit. Button B should probably be my news, and that's why I keep getting messed up every time.
It's
spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
All right, normally I don't have a lot of news or anything, but there has been some interesting stuff going on in the worlds of entertainment that happened over the last few weeks. And HBO, this is from Variety. HBO had some success with their Penguin series from DC Studios. Now, I've tried to watch it. I think I fell asleep in the first episode. I have a hard time rooting for the bad guy. And if it's all about the bad guys, I can't really get into it. It's just not my thing. So I didn't really get very far, but a lot of people enjoyed it. And so DC Studios has officially greenlit a feature film centered around Clayface. Now, I think there's been more than one Clayface throughout the history of the character. I think we had a completely different character in the animated series. And I think that was even a different guy who was Clayface in the Arkham games. So now I don't know a whole lot of history about the actual characters, but you've got a script being written by the Dr. Sleep filmmaker, Mike Flanagan. I don't know how well the Dr. Sleep film turned out. I didn't see it. But Matt Reeves and Lynn Harris are going to produce through their company, Sixth in Idaho. And September 11th, 2026 is the set release date. And apparently Flanagan's been really keen to do a Clayface movie as a horror thriller tragedy, which could work because he could be a horror monster in its own way and a tragedy if you do it in the way that was presented in Batman the Animated Series. So that could work. That really could. All right, something else is happening. This is from Deadline. New Chitty Chitty Bang Bang movie in the works at Eon Productions and Amazon MGM Studios. So as I guess you call it a remake. And it's being developed with a theatrical release in mind. I've most of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. I think I haven't. I've missed parts of it. But Chitty Chitty Bang Bang is an Ian Fleming book. It's a beloved movie with Dick Van Dyke, who just turned 99. I don't know that everybody wants them to remake it. I mean, you got music from Robert and Richard Sherman. I mean, unless they can keep it on par with the original film, I don't really think that this is a necessary remake at all. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, it's happening. Something else is strangely might be happening. Michael Gracie is in negotiations for a direct live-action Tangled for Disney. Because Tangled is so old that we needed a remake already. But here, you know, it's been since 2010, so it's been 14 years, right? Plot details are still under wraps. The film is expected to follow along the lines of the animated version, of course, because the animated version did a very kind of different take on Rapunzel, but yet kept some of the same things in there, unlike Frozen, that has no resemblance to what its source material was at all. It's just gone. So it would be kind of fun to see if they got Mandy Moore and Zachary Levi back in there to play the roles. But I guess they're probably too old to do it now. I honestly just stop, Disney. Just stop. Here we go, though. The Game Awards happened. I guess it's been last week. I'm going to review these in last order. Now, y'all know I'm a big Final Fantasy VII Rebirth fan and Remake fan as well, and a huge Aerith fan. I have 7 Aerith figures here on my desk with a sip of hot cocoa. So I was pulling for that one. And it won some stuff with Golden Joysticks and a lot of other things. Had a lot of nominations. But then, okay, Best Action Game went to Black Myth Wukong. Best VR and AR game, Batman Arkham Shadow. Best mobile game went to Balatro. Best debut indie game, Balatro. Best independent game, Balatro. Best community support, Baldur's Gate 3. Best ongoing game, Helldivers 2. Games for Impact, Neva. Some of these I hadn't even heard of. Innovation in accessibility was the new Prince of Persia game, The Lost Crown. Best performance went to Melina Jurgens of Senua's Saga in Hellblade 2. I was pulling for Brianna White, who was the voice of Aerith, of course. Best audio design, Senua's Saga of Hellblade 2. I haven't played any of the Hellblade games. But best score and music, finally, that one went to Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. And, I mean, you couldn't give it to anybody else, really. Best art direction went to Metaphor, ReFantazio, which also won best narrative. And best narrative, let me say that clearly. Best game direction and game of the year both went to Astrobot, which was odd because this is a PlayStation mascot character that I mean, it, when you get a PS5, it comes with an Astrobots kind of game to familiarize you with the controls. And people had fun racing through these platforms. And I'm not into 3D platform games really at all. I mean, I did play the Epic Mickey Rebrushed, and I realized that it's kind of got a lot of platforming in it. And I get frustrated with platforming. So much now my wife will even play the Castlevania Symphony of the Night, and she misses a jump. Oh, platforming! You know, she'll complain about it. But platforming in a 2D space is a lot easier than a 3D space, I think. Especially if they make you platform jump in a first-person view, which is why I never finished Metroid Prime. I've also had struggles with Sea of Thieves on a PC, playing with some people. We had some 3D platforming, first-person perspective, and I cannot make the jumps that way. I just can't do it. But Final Fantasy VII Rebirth didn't win anything except for the one award. But they had a lot of other fun things. Harrison Ford making an appearance, kind of boosting up Troy Baker's performance as Indiana Jones. And what is that circle game? Those of you that are Xbox are able to play it. I'm waiting for it to come on PlayStation 5, which it's supposed to be coming. I don't know the exact details of when, but it is coming. They're going to let it come out. But Final Fantasy VII Rebirth also is coming to PC. And one of the developers, now they're saying he was being reverse psychology, but he was saying, please don't put any weird mods onto the PC version. Because you know what happens is, because it is up on YouTube, they start taking the clothes off of the females or whatever. They do weird mods. People do oddball things. It happens. And I guess he's just hoping that maybe they won't do it, but you know they're gonna. We did have some other games, of course, that were revealed at the Game Awards. I mean, that's part of why they do it for. And Statler and Waldorf were there, and they even joked about, you know, the awards or something that happens in between commercials. And we did get to see something, you know, for The Witcher 4, which is, of course, going to be focused more on Ciri, which if I've played only The Witcher 3, I would like to play some of the other games, but you saw it was coming. It was kind of a setup that way. So it's not really a surprise. And even, you know, the story that happens in the story, it's basically a miniature story. It even follows along with The Witcher, where you feel like you're doing the right thing, but something always goes wrong with it. And it kept that same feel. So I'm kind of excited to check it out. Now, people are claiming that people are getting mad that we're switching protagonists in there. And, oh, no, they just don't like women protagonists. But bullcrap. I don't believe it. I haven't seen any of it. And really, anyone who's played the game, you know, now some of the book readers are like, well, Ciri never ends up being the lead protagonist. She's a completely different thing. But the games are branching away from the books. OK, they have been already. So, you know, having not read the books and only watched maybe a little bit of the series, I can't give it a full endorsement because holy cow, the nudity. Wow. But, you know, it made sense to me, like Ciri was going to be, you know, a focal point because Geralt was going to step down, although Geralt apparently is going to be in the next game. So I don't buy it that anybody's really fussing. I think people are wanting to stir up controversy because they need that kind of controversy, because if people are talking controversially, it's free advertising. So I don't buy into that. I do, though, real quick, I want to share at least one trailer because we haven't had a trailer park in a while. So here we go.
Mama, now the gator got in the house.
Now the gator? Give me that shovel. Come here.
Get him, Mama. Get that gator.
The Neverland Trailer Park.
Now, this looked nice and kind of predictable. It's called The Gorge. It's coming out from Skydance, and I wanted to share it. So here we go.
Trailer starts now.
I have new orders that require me to go dark for at least a year, maybe more. A special assignment in an undisclosed location.
As an elite sniper, are you presently under any private or military contract?
No. There's not a lot of reasons for me right now.
What if I gave you a reason?
There she is. West Tower Observation Post. Your home for the next 365 days. There is no outside communication here.
What's that on the other side?
That is East Tower. Contact with the other side is strictly forbidden.
So what's the mission? To keep people from going in the gorge?
No. You need to stop what's in the gorge from coming out.
What the hell is that?
The gorge is the door to hell. and we're standing guard at the gate. About this place. What's the truth about the Gorge?
This place is evil.
All right, so this is marked for Apple TV. So I don't know if it's going to get a theatrical release. Probably will. It premieres February 14th on Apple TV Plus. But doesn't say anything about a theatrical release. And I can't imagine it necessarily doing well. I mean, people might go to The Rush eventually, first off, to see it in a theater, right? But here's the thing. So you have handsome man, pretty girl, foreign countries, snipers over this gorge. They're not allowed to communicate. What does that mean for you predictable folks? That means they're going to find a way to communicate. They're going to like each other or some way become some sort of relationship will blossom through their non-communication, which is like drawing on signs. They play chess back and forth. They ask names and all the other stuff. Also, this gorge is supposed to be, oh, like hell is down there. Well, okay, well, if hell was there, they don't understand hell. Hell is where people and demons are sent as punishment. They don't rule in hell. Satan is not going to rule in hell. He's going to be punished in there when he gets cast in there, right? And it wasn't meant for us. God didn't want us to be in there, but Satan found a way to get us where we're pulled down in there with him. Whole different thing. So whatever's down there, it's monsters are down there in the gorge. But here's the predictable thing. Okay, so the gorge happens. You know there's going to be a relationship. You know at some point somebody's going to try to cross. And somehow or another, they're going to both... They're both going to end up in the gorge, right? You could predict that just from before even the trailer showed it to you. When I saw, oh, the gorge is this horrible, evil place. And these two people are across from each other. They're going to communicate. Well, somebody's going to try to cross. Something horrible will happen. They're going to end up in there. And then I saw it happen in the trailer. When I first saw it, I'm like, it looks interesting. I'll grant you that. It looks interesting. But, oh, my goodness, does this lever look like the most predictable thing that everything you expect is going to happen in this thing will happen. So I don't think it's going to be like a high quality movie, but it might be a bit of scary thriller fun. I don't know. But I figured I'd have to share that because I'm like, are you kidding me with this? And it might do well on Apple Plus, but I think that's why they didn't put it in theaters. So they probably watched it and like, yeah, you can kind of see this coming before it happens. Yep, that's predictable. And you'd have to be a 10-year-old to not see this happen. And even a 10-year-old, if they've seen enough stuff, would be like, yeah, I can see where this is going. I mean, the only thing that surprised me in the trailers when they say like, oh, this gorge is the path to hell or whatever. That surprised me because I was like, oh, I was sitting there thinking, oh, look, these two snipers or whatever are supposed to sit in these towers or not supposed to communicate. They'll communicate. Something will happen. They'll try to cross over. And then, of course, they say the pit to hell. It's like, oh, I didn't expect that. But, well, yeah, that means that they're going to both of them going into the gorge. One of them is going to fall in. The other one's going to go in to try to save them, which is exactly what you see in the trailer. So everything in the trailer is everything you could predict. So unless there's some surprises in this movie that are not shown in the trailer, I wouldn't pay money for this, to tell you the truth. Okay, but let's get into some main content here. Okay, so let me go through some of the shows that I didn't get a chance to watch or cover. And this includes, you know, there was a Magnum PI, Operation Silent Night. There's a Miami Vice Milk Run episode that were listed. But let me go through some of the things that I did watch. Well, there's some other stuff I have a little bit of detail that it mentioned a few other ones that when I was trying to dig up some information. But there was an episode called Humbug Not to Be Spoken Here from Bewitched. It was season 4, episode 16 from 1967. This is Samantha bringing the spirit of Christmas to Mr. Mortimer, a miserly client of Darren's who is indifferent to the holiday cheer. With the help of her magical power, she arranges a meeting between Mortimer and Santa Claus himself, attempting to transform the man's Grinch-like attitude into generosity. Wyatt's beloved, and while this episode offers a charming blend of holiday spirit and the series' trademark whimsy, it balances comedy with a heartwarming message of transformation, redemption, making it a quintessential Christmas episode. Now, this, I believe, is available streaming. I had this all collected, but I think you can watch Bewitched on a streaming service if you search for it. The Alan Brady Show Presents was an episode of the Dick Van Dyke Show from season 3, episode 13, 1963. Instead of the usual script-driven programming, the cast and crew of the Alan Brady Show, this is where Dick Van Dyke's character works, right? Okay, they come together for a festive variety show featuring musical numbers and comedic skits. The episode celebrates the camaraderie of the season while showcasing the diverse talents of the ensemble cast. This episode stands out for its celebratory review-style approach, offering a warm, nostalgic view of Christmas in the 1960s. Fans appreciate how it breaks the fourth wall, allowing viewers to see to feel like they're part of the festivities. I may have seen this episode once before, and I'm pretty sure it can be streamed. I kind of want to check it out. They are also suggesting The Honeymooners has a good episode, which I think I've seen a Christmas episode of The Honeymooners before. I'm not sure. But some actual ones that I have some details of, Mork and Mindy, Mork's First Christmas. This is season 1, episode 13. Pretty sure I've seen this episode too. This heartwarming episode sees Mork experiencing his first Christmas on Earth. By the way, I'm going to read this specifically because we have an ALF episode later that I did watch. As Mindy introduces him to the traditions and meanings of the holiday, Mork's alien perspective offers both humorous misunderstandings and insightful reflections. When the group encounters Susan, a lonely and difficult woman, Mork insists they include her in their celebration, showing that kindness and inclusion are the heart of the season. Robin Williams' comedic brilliance shines as Mork learns the customs of Christmas, while the episode's emotional core reminds viewers about the importance of compassion and togetherness. Its mix of humor, heart, and holiday spirit make it a fan favorite. And, of course, here's an episode of The Brady Bunch, The Voice of Christmas, Season 1, Episode 12, 1969. When Carol loses her voice just before she's scheduled to sing at the family's church Christmas service, the Brady kids rally together to save Christmas for their mom. Their efforts, filled with the usual Brady charm and a touch of holiday magic, culminate in a festive and heartwarming resolution. The episode is cherished for its focus on family unity and the spirit of giving. Carol's recovery and her eventual performance reflect the show's hallmark blend of light drama and feel-good moments. It captures the nostalgic charm of the 1960s family sitcoms and remains a holiday staple for many fans. Mork is streaming on Pluto TV. Also, it's available for purchase or rent on Apple TV. That Brady Bunch episode, you can rent it on Apple TV or Amazon, but it is available to watch on Paramount Plus. Okay, so now let's look at a couple of things that I did watch. So, Oh, Tannerbaum from ALF, Season 1, Episode 12, 1986. As Christmas approaches, ALF is eager to experience the holiday traditions he's read about, particularly having a real Christmas tree. However, when he mistakenly chops the family's artificial tree into wood, it's not an artificial tree. That's an error from the sources I'm using. But he chops, because you don't chop up an artificial tree into firewood, but when he chopped the Christmas tree into firewood, the Tanners are left without a tree on Christmas Eve. Determined to rectify the situation, Willie and Alf venture into the mountains to find a suitable replacement, leading into a series of comedic misadventures. Sort of. Their quest underscores the challenges of balancing holiday expectations with reality. I'm glad I watched this episode because their synopsis is not good. This episode showcases Alf's humorous misunderstandings of earthly customs, blending comedy with the warmth of holiday spirit. The storyline emphasizes themes of family togetherness and the true meaning of Christmas beyond material possessions, resonating with audiences who appreciate both the humor and heart of the series. Okay, so in the opening of this, Alf comes in. Of course, Willie and Kate are already awake. They've been talking, you know, about their early Christmas together, first Christmas card they got from the gas company who had shut the gas off and shut off their heat that year, their first Christmas together. But anyways, Alf comes barging in. And he's all, hooray, and he's wearing a stocking on his head and spinning a thing. And he says, I've hidden the eggs and I've made breakfast. And they said, we don't hide eggs for Christmas. That's for Easter. Oh, okay.
I still made breakfast, and he made something horrible for breakfast, so Kate's going to go make it. And so Willie asked him, well, why did you make breakfast and do all this? He's like, well, I hear the Santa Claus guy likes it when you do good things, so I'm trying to get on his good side. And so the other good deed he tries to do, he says, oh, there's this tree. I guess we needed it for firewood, so he chopped it to firewood. He's trying to help. His hijinks were honest mistakes because he doesn't understand, and there's a little bit of a scene with him and the two kids there as he's trying to figure out the names of all the reindeer, that kind of thing. But Willie goes and he buys an artificial tree at this point, and nobody's really happy about it. And Alpha's really kind of upset because he wanted a real tree. It's his first Christmas. He wanted to experience the whole thing. So he goes with Willie out into the woods to go and get a tree. And Alf, not very good with an earth map, gets them stuck in some mud. And so the hijinks are really just them sitting in a car. Willie shares some Christmas memories, and Alf doesn't seem like he's listening, but he does. Because Alf is a little self-centered, you know. But he listens, and he does kind of, you know, ask a question about, you know, one of Willie's family members. And when Willie falls asleep, has a dream of like the perfect Christmas that he was having with the Tanner family. And then Alf shows up as a tree repairman. And he's like, oh, no, Alf has just ruined my Christmas. He wakes up to find a tree in the car that Alf has got. And oh, here comes the park rangers or whatever to come and pull them out and find them for being, you know, grabbing a tree, I guess. So, but it was a fun little episode. All right. Then something else goes. We watched every year. My wife loves this. Christmas Eve on Sesame Street from 1978. In this Emmy award-winning special, the Sesame Street community prepares for Christmas with excitement and joy. The narrative follows Big Bird as he becomes concerned by Oscar the Grouch's suggestion that Santa Claus might not be able to deliver presents due to the lack of traditional chimneys on Sesame Street. Determined to ensure a Merry Christmas for all, Big Bird embarks on a quest to uncover how Santa accomplishes his deliveries, leading to heartwarming lessons about faith and the magic of the holiday season. Airing annually since its debut, this special is cherished for its blend of humor, music, and poignant messages suitable for all ages. The portrayal of beloved characters navigating holiday challenges reinforces themes of community, generosity, and the wonder of Christmas, making it a timeless favorite among viewers. It is available to view on Max, okay, because they own Sesame Street right now, although I've heard it might be changing hands. Disney might be getting a hold of it. It's going back with the main Muppets. I don't know. So we watch this every year, mainly for Cookie Monster. Cookie Monster's side story with this is that he's trying to write a letter to Santa. And first he eats his pencil because he gets excited. Then he eats the typewriter because he gets excited and thinking about cookies he wants for Christmas. Culminating in him just not getting the letter written. And he even at the end, he's eating a Christmas tree and says that, let's see, Douglas fir is pretty good, but a Scotch pine gives him heartburn. But him getting excited and cowabunga and chopping the typewriter in half. My wife just loves it. And it's fun. It's Cookie Monster, especially when he swallows the phone. He's starting to eat the phone because it looks like cupcakes. And he even holds part of the cord and said, hello, because he was trying to call Santa Claus. And you hear Santa actually answer the phone, but he's already swallowed the receiver. So Cookie Monster's wrecked it. But the main storyline here, well, before I get to the main storyline, there is also the Gift of the Magi kind of takes place with Bert and Ernie as they... Bert trades his paperclip collection to get a soap dish for Ernie's rubber ducky. But you guessed it, Ernie has traded in his rubber ducky to get a cigar box for Bert or Ernie or Bert's paperclip collection. OK, now I hope I got that right. Over at Mr. Hooper's store back when Mr. Hooper was still alive. So in the end, though, Mr. Hooper brings them back their stuff when they open each other's gifts, realizing that they've made an error. So everything works out greatly. But so your main story is, yeah, chimneys are kind of small in the city, and so Big Bird wonders how in the world Santa could get there. So Oscar sees the opportunity. Oh, no, well, if you can't figure out how he does it, then he won't come. Now, an adult should have, you know, this plot could have ended real fast. You go to Big Bird, realizing, you know, he's got the mind of a three-year-old. He's a child for a six-foot bird, or seven-foot bird, really, maybe. And you just say, well, Santa's been around a lot longer than you have. And if he's managed to do it all these years, what makes you think he's suddenly not going to do it because you can't figure it out? And I would have made this a strong faith method because this is how you can show things to God when kids don't understand certain things about God. And there's even stuff that we don't fully understand, I guess, you know, just like just because you can't figure it out, God's been around a lot longer than you have. God's got this taken care of. Even if you can't figure it out, you need to just trust that God has this worked out. I mean, that's a message that could have been in there, but, you know, they're not trying to give you that sort of a message. I mean, it says the lessons about faith, but I guess faith in Santa Claus. But, yeah, I would take this as an opportunity to talk to your kids. So show this to your kids. You'll enjoy it all together. But I would say share that with your kids. It's like, you know, And you get a really some good answers from kids, but you could share that with your kids of like, you have to have faith that, you know, if Santa Claus has been doing this longer than you've been around, he knows what he's doing, right? If you do the Santa Claus thing, but you tell me, you know, God's been around a lot longer than you. He's got this worked out, even if we don't understand. And that works for us adults, too. But there is a fun part where they ask children how Santa gets into the house. And the interaction with the Muppets is just too much fun with Grover. All this fun stuff with Grover. I absolutely love it. It's adorable. Especially one little girl that she explains it and you can barely understand what she's saying. And Grover just looks at the screen and there you have it. It is a great fun watch. I highly recommend watching that one. And like I said, it is available on Max. So if you've never seen it, my goodness, go and watch it. You will not regret it at all. You will love it. I promise you. Okay, so other things that I watched now, it's been a few weeks since I watched the episode, but Andy Griffith, The Christmas Story, Season 1, Episode 11. Now, it's my understanding that this episode was so beloved that they just showed this one every year at Christmas. Now, I can't confirm that, but it aired originally December 19th, 1960. So on Christmas Eve, Ben Weaver, the town's grumpy department store owner, insists that Andy arrest a moonshiner. However, Andy and the others in the jail arrange a heartfelt Christmas celebration for the moonshiner's family, transforming Ben's cold heart. This is an episode perfectly captures the spirit of kindness and forgiveness, blending humor and warmth with a quintessential small-town Christmas vibe. Fans adore its nostalgic charm and heartfelt resolution. Now, Philip, if he was here, he has mentioned some of the guy who played Ben Weaver was in a lot of different things. I can't tell you which. I haven't looked any of it up. I was hoping Philip would be here to say something. So that didn't work out. But I watch this all the time. The fun part is, okay, so this Moonshiner family, the mother of the Moonshiner family, and we see them a couple other times in Andy Griffith, that is played by Margaret Carey, Tinkerbell herself, when she's very young. She doesn't really have any lines, but she's there as the mother in this family. But see how this is going out is that they're, you know, Andy and Barney are there at the jail and they kind of go through. And there's actually an error that I saw pointed out on another YouTube channel. They look at little boo-boos. Barney and Andy are looking at Christmas cards. And at one point, their cards kind of switch in their hands. And like they're holding the opposite one they have. And there's a little bit of a, you know, story there. And then Barney gets to play Santa Claus for the Christmas party they're talking about. And so, well, I can't go and play Santa at the Christmas party, Barney says, because we have a couple of prisoners in there. And Andy goes over there and says, well, you know, the jail's about reforming. And it's like, okay, so have you two learned your lesson? Because they were just, I think, maybe drunk in public. It was a minor offense. And Andy says, well, I think we can let you go and everything as long as you've learned your lesson. You're not going to do this again. Time served. Well, we'll call it. It's Christmas. Well, of course, Ben Weaver's upset about that. He don't like that at all. But that's, and Andy says, well, don't you believe that this jail here is to reform them? It's like, well, I think it's better off that they reform. And I set them free. So he comes in with the moonshiner. And so, just the guy, the father of the family. And he says, well, I can't separate the whole family. So he brings in the moonshiner family. And they thought, well, you know what? Let's just bring our Christmas party here. So they call up everybody, Aunt Bee and everybody. And they're going to have their Christmas party there at the jail. Ben Weaver's kind of upset about that. But it's like, well, we're here. They're keeping him in jail. We just locked up their whole family. We kept him in there, you know. Well, Ben Weaver then starts wanting to come to the party. But he can't let on that he wants to come to the party. He's, you know, the grump. So he starts trying to get himself thrown in jail by, you know, vandalizing a park bench by picking it up or moving it or whatever. And he's turning himself in. They said, well, we can let that go. That's a minor. You won't ever do that again, though, will you, Ben? And then Ben Weaver, you see, he's peeking out through the small window of the jail cell, kind of watching in there like he wants to be part of the party. Eventually, Andy catches him out back because he's going, you know, grabbing something out back and he realizes what's going on here. So he decides, well, Ben, you see what you just did? Well, oh, my goodness. You just, you know. Yeah, I can't remember what crime, but he accuses him of crime. And says, I'm going to have to lock you up for this, Ben. So he brings Ben into the party in a way and lets them all stay the night. And it works out really nicely. So it's a real nice episode. It's good stuff. And I probably spoiled the whole thing, but it is available streaming. So I do recommend that one as well. It's a very good one. Another one, I found this one episode on YouTube as an official thing. I think it's on Paramount Plus as well, as well as the Alf episode. I watched it on YouTube, but I think it is available streaming as well. But the Keaton Christmas Carol is a Family Ties episode from Season 2, Episode 9, airing on December 14th, 1983. Alex P. Keaton experiences a Scrooge-like transformation when he dreams he's visited by the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future. That's another wrong synopsis. They teach him valuable lessons about family and generosity. I'm going to have to give you the real story here in a little bit. It's a clever nod to A Christmas Carol. This episode showcases Michael J. Fox's comedic talent while delivering a heartfelt reminder about the importance of family. This episode masterfully balances humor with heart as Alex's journey through his dreamscape mirrors classic Dickensian storytelling. Michael J. Fox's comedic timing shines as he interacts with exaggerated versions of his family. The resolution delivers a satisfying, warm reminder of holiday priorities. Now, he does not experience a present other than with his, you know, when he comes in, you know, he's there. He's already in the present. He only has experienced the past and the future. The past, of course, is little Jennifer, and the future is Mallory as ghosts. Right. But, you know, we never find out why Alex has lost his zeal for Christmas, because when you go into the past, you see he loved Christmas as a kid and all that kind of stuff. But we don't see why he lost it in the modern time. What happened to Alex? And he's frequently played as the villain because, you know, he's supposed to represent Reagan capitalism and conservatism and everything. And they wanted to preach against it because the hippie parents were right about everything. This stuff I didn't pick up on as a kid, and I understand it now as an adult, which, you know, I haven't really watched much Family Ties since growing up to see that they do that. But they frequently try to make a villain out of Alex anyway. But he was still the most popular character on there, you know, with Michael J. Fox and everything. But part of the story is that he was supposed to pick up cough syrup for Jen, and he forgot. And so, like, in the future, she's lost all of her voice and everything. She's got the scrabbly voice, because if only she'd had cough syrup, you know, she would have had her voice. And he becomes this horrible jerk in the future, which when he revisits the past, he was like, you know, I kind of remember this used to be a fun thing for me, and it was nice to do stuff with the family. So I'll remember that. Thank you. But then he has to go to the future and see how horrible it was because he's become wealthy and his family is destitute and he treats them poorly. He says, well, I'd hate to have that happen to them. I love my family. So he just gets a reminder that he loves his family. So he goes and has a good Christmas with his family on there. And it's a nice episode. I liked it. And it is available to stream. But, of course, they always, you know, paint him as the villain for the wrong reasons sometimes, I think. But I really wish they would have gotten into, well, what happened to Alex to where he's soured on Christmas? Because he complains like it's a fake holiday with all these people having all these false emotions, all this stuff. And it's a lie. Now, they're supposed to be church going people. The reverend even comes by with people to sing carols at them. So how in the world a church going? And he's supposed to be a conservative person. How would he not have the meaning of Christmas and love it? That doesn't make any sense. So I needed an explanation, honestly. But it's still a fun episode, so I still recommend it. But I have questions. I have so many questions. You know, it's like it doesn't make any sense to me. But those are the three episodes that I watched, and I can throw some recommendation at you. I want to share some fun Christmas audio with you before we go. And so I haven't picked it out yet, so I don't know what I'm about to play for you, but it'll be an old radio show. So please do enjoy.
If you're a facilities manager at a university, you know students rely on the cafeteria for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and the occasional late-night snack. So when a dishwasher breaks down and dirty plates pile up, the mess hall can turn messy in the blink of an eye. Enter Grainger. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast delivery, the product you need now is never far away. So you can turn that dishwasher back into a lean, clean washing machine. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's Friday night, so we take you now to Duffy's Tavern, starring Archie himself, Ed Gardner. Duffy's Tavern is brought to you by Bristol Myers, makers of Vitalis and Minute Rub, two products that will pay you to remember. Minute Rub, modern chest rub, Vitalis for well-groomed hair. Minute Rub, Vitalis.
Hello, Duffy's Tavern, where the elite meet to eat. Archie the Manager speaking. Duffy ain't here. Oh, hello, Duffy. Merry Christmas to you. By the way, we got two more Christmas cards tonight. Well, one from Colucci, the fruit peddler. Yeah, very pretty card, too. It's got his coat of arms. Two crossed bananas with a tomato rampant in the background. Yeah, and the other one's from Cavendish the Undertaker. Yeah, it says, wishing you a joyous and merry Christmas and a short but happy New Year. P.S. Drop in and see our new Christmas wrappings. Yeah, you ought to be here, Duffy. Already the joint is reeking with Christmassy odor. Yeah, we're even putting on a show tonight, the Christmas Carol. Well, it's an old play by Charles Dickens. Dickens, as in go to D. Yeah. Yeah, well, the guy's a very famous writer, Duffy. Wrote David Copperfield, the Picnic Papers. That other one about the dame, you know. Oliver's Twist. Well, look, Duffy, I'm busy now. I gotta rewrite the Christmas Carol. Yeah, well, I gotta fix it up, you know. Some of the grammar is a little old-fashioned. I'll call you back, Duffy. Merry Christmas. Okay. Hey, Eddie.
Yes, sir?
Look, it's Christmas, sir. Why don't you say we kind of infest the joint with a little Christmas flavor? Leave us put some mistletoes around and some holly wreaths, huh?
Oh, we've practically got a holly wreath already. The customers at the bar is turning red, and the ones that just finished eating are turning green.
Eddie, will you cut out the whiz me? I'm serious. Now, what could we do to make the joint a little more Christmassy?
Yeah, we could get a nice snow effect by whitewashing the sawdust.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Sure, and I could trot around under the table with a little cask of brandy tied around my neck.
Yeah, that'd be cute, like one of them St. Bernstein dogs. Good old Christmas. By the way, I wonder what Duffy is going to give us for Christmas this year.
Yeah, I wonder. Hey, you know, I kind of got my heart set on the Hope Diamond.
You hope, you hope, you hope. What did he give you in last year again?
Yeah, monogrammed dustpan.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that.
Yeah. It makes a nice set with the monogrammed broom he gave me the year before.
Look, Eddie, don't be bitter. After all, Duffy ain't really such a bad guy.
No, he ain't such a bad guy.
No.
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 No. Well, so long, this is where I get off.
Eddie, you're bitter. Remember that Christmas dinner he gave us last year? The celery and the chestnuts and the cranberries.
And the cover charge.
Ah, he was kidding. That big whole roast pig with the apple in its mouth. Hello, Finnegan. Where's the apple?
What apple?
Skip, it's just a little picture you happen to conjure into my mind. Anyways, Merry Christmas to you, Finnegan.
And Merry Christmas to you, Archie. By the way, that brings up a subject.
What?
Archie, I'd like to ask you a question.
Well, what's the question?
Well, Archie, promise me you'll tell me the truth.
I promise.
Okay. Archie, is there a Santa Claus?
Well, bless your heart, Finnegan. What brought this on?
I was over to Macy's this morning, and on the fifth floor, there was a tall, skinny Santa Claus, and I got down to the third floor, and there's a short, fat Santa Claus. Frankly, Arch, I'm beginning to smell a rat. Now, tell me, will you?
Look, I don't want to be no stool pigeon. I'd rather you'd ask somebody else.
So, well, who am I going to ask, Arch? You ask me little brother Wilford, and he says there ain't no Santa Claus, but what does he know? He's only a child.
Look, you put me in a very bad position.
Well, you gotta tell me, Arch. I'm old enough to know. And I'm gonna find out sooner or later anyway.
Finnegan, please, I'd rather that somebody
else. Oh, come on, Arch. You told me about the stork, didn't you? Believe me, this is important to me.
Why? Why is it so important?
Well, I ain't smart enough to keep a job. I can't read. I can't write. I don't like girls. If there's no Santa Claus, what have I got to live for?
Well, okay, Finnegan, you asked for it. You see, this Santa Claus thing started, there's the birds and the bees and the flowers.
Yeah.
And, Finnegan, turn your eyes the other way, will you? That's better. Now you ask me if there's a Santa Claus. So prepare yourself, Finnegan.
Go ahead, Arch. I can take it.
Finnegan, there is no...
Arch!
No truth to the rumor that there is no Santa Claus. There is a Santa Claus.
Oh, boy, what a load off of me, man. Santa Claus is coming.
These are adults. Hello? Oh, just a second. Eddie, it's your girlfriend, Sonia Jones.
Oh, my. The first official sign of Christmas. Hello. Oh, hello, Sonia. Yeah, Merry Christmas. Huh? Sure, I love you, sugar. What you doing? Is you alone, baby? Ain't that a man's voice out here? Or you're listening to the news on the radio? Sonia, how long has Gable Heater been calling you honey? I'm just suspicious. Yeah, baby. I know I'm always in your heart. Yeah. But, honey, who's that's always in your apartment? Well, Merry Christmas, honey. Yeah. By the way, extend the season's greetings to Gable Heater for me. That's bad news tonight.
Look, Eddie, why do you let that Sonia kick you around like this? What are you, man or your mouse?
Pass the cheese.
Say, Archie.
Oh, hello, Miss Duffy. Hey, what's the matter with you today?
Why?
Well, you look even more battered than usual.
Yeah, and that's just the way I feel. Gee, Archie, those department stores are terrible. You try to get near a counter and you take your life in your hands. They push you around, tear your stockings, step on your toes, gouge your eyes out.
Well, what were you trying to buy?
Nothing. I was just browsing.
Well, that starts our conversation this evening on a nice idiotic basis.
Yes.
Yeah.
Incidentally, I hear you're going to put on a Christmas show tonight.
Yes.
Well, needless to say, you'll want me to sing.
On the contrary, equally needless. You and that foghorn falsetto. That off-coloratura. You are not going
now
to...
Now listen here, you big dope.
Look, Miss Duffy, leave us not fight tonight. It's the Christmas season, and I'm in too good a mood. In fact, I'm so happy, I'd like to kiss you. Hmm? Blindfolded, of course. Okay, you can sing in the show. Mr. Melnick.
Yeah, Arch.
Look, we're going to need some Christmassy background music for the show tonight. Are you equipped?
We're loaded, Jackson.
In what way, Phil? How are you loaded?
I got a kid named Robert Maxwell that's murder on this Christmas stuff. A harp player.
Harp player, huh? Good idea. Duffy will love it. It's his native music. Okay, we'll put the kid in the show.
Say, Archie.
Yes, Mr. Miller.
Can you use me in the Christmas show?
Well, yeah, maybe you could announce it. Give me a sample, for instance. What would you say?
Well, I don't know. Maybe something like this. Ladies and gentlemen, Duffy's Tavern takes great pleasure in presenting its Christmas show, starring that famous hair grooming preparation, Vitalis.
Very good. Very good. Then I suppose you had in mind a ballet, maybe, where four men with tight, dry scalps dance around a bottle of Vitalis? While the band plays Hair, Hair, the gang's all hair?
Well, no, Archie. The orchestra would play Here, Here, Vitalis is Almost Here.
Very sharp. Pull up your podium and pray continue.
Well, yeah, pretty soon now, Vitalis will be back. Back to keep your dry, unruly hair well-groomed. And without that plaster-down patent leather shine. Yes, pretty soon you'll be able to use Vitalis and the 60-second workout to loosen your tight, dry scalp, rout loose dandruff, and help prevent excessive falling hair. Shortages will soon be relieved. And then you'll be able to get original, genuine Vitalis, the hair grooming preparation that's been the standby of so many men for so long.
Okay, Eddie, we're all set. Now give me that bung starter. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as you all know, each year we present our centennial Christmas show. That moment has just become right. So, I want you all to enjoy the show. Applaud when you like. Be merry. Have laughs. In other words, feel free to vent your spleen in any way you wish. So without no further ado, leave us on with the show. Carry on, Mr. Miller.
Thank you. Duffy's Tavern brings you Christmas music. Christmas drama.
But Santa Claus, suppose my husband comes home and finds you here.
Christmas humor.
Do you think we will have a white Christmas, darling?
Well, it will if it don't rain, dear. And now on with the show. For our first act this evening, we give you that beloved little entertainer, your waiter and mine, Eddie Green. To know him is to tip him. Take it.
You better watch out. Better not cry. Better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming. Coming on down to Harlem Town. Oh, my. Hey! And you got to find out who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus is coming. With his bag full of jive, Mr. Five by Five sees you when you're sleeping, and he knows how good you've been. So if you meet him face to face, say, solid old man, give me some skin. He's got no reindeer, they ain't got no sled, but he's on his way and he's coming instead on the after such a freaker as a Saturday.
Thank you very much, Eddie Green. Now, for our next act, we reach into our Christmas grab bag, and what do we pull out? None other than Mr. Robert Maxwell, the world's greatest harpist. Okay, Robert, take us on a Miller side with a reach-beat hubcap and send a salad with that old riff-raff sad sack, kid. Okay, take it away, Robert Maxwell. Duffy, you got to give the guy credit. He plays the thing with his bare hands. What? Mrs. Duffy says she would like to have a little more Christmas schmaltz, huh? Okay, boss. Look, Matty, can the kid jive out a little more dig beat with a riff on the schmaltz side?
What?
Oh, I see him talking to a square. Duffy says he would like something a little more befitting to the occasion of the season.
Well, how about White Christmas?
Okay, let him chop it away in a gut bucket.
Thank you.
Robert Maxwell, and incidentally, if that thing ever has any little ukuleles, name one after me. We have to continue our cruise down Santa Claus Lane. We next hear from that great singing duet, Clifton Finnegan and Miss Duffy. Better known as half a wit and a near miss. This is Third Avenue's answer to the atomic bomb. Okay, take it away.
Fly that way.
Oh, you listening?
Fly away.
Oh, you listening?
I'll be there tonight.
Oh, we're doing good. About the time, every time, the time.
Finnegan and Miss Duffy, you sounded like Jeanette McDonald with a half Nelson on Eddie. And now, we have a surprise act for you. Mr. Marvin Miller, our genial master of ceremonies, will beleaguer us with a poem. Go right ahead, Mr. Miller.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the nation, people had chest colds and had stuffed up sensations.
Just a second. Wait a minute. I think I can finish that for you. With his sleigh full of minute rub, over housetops and spires, came Santa Claus shouting, on, Bristol, on, Myers. Okay, Mr. Mullen, you may now lapse into prose, if you please.
Well, just to say that Minute Rub, a really modern chest rub, is wonderful to help relieve that uncomfortable cold misery. All you do is rub Minute Rub on your throat, chest, and back, and in a minute, Minute Rub gets to work and starts to relieve that clogged up feeling in the nose and throat, starts to bring a feeling of warmth to those tight, sore chest muscles. And because Minute Rub is greaseless and stainless, it can't stain clothes or bed linens. So get a jar of Minute Rub and get relief from annoying cold misery the modern way, the greaseless, stainless Minute Rub way.
Okay, Mr. Miller, you may now announce the big piece of resistance.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, we now present the Christmas Carol, written by the Dickens boys, Charles and Archie. As our scene opens, we find Ebenezer Scrooge, played by Archie, preparing to go to bed in his miserable little room on Piccadilly Square. All England is agog with Yuletide spirit. But for miserable old Ebenezer Scrooge, there is no Christmas. At the moment, we find him in an ugly mood, writing in his diary.
Dear diary, had a pleasant day today. Bankrupted three widows, foreclosed 12 mortgages, and drove 9 families out into the snow. Barefooty, of course.
Oh, Mr. Scrooge, sire.
Oh, it is my butler, Godfrey. What do you want, my man Godfrey?
It's getting mighty cold in here. Do you think we can afford to throw another twig on the fire?
Heavens to Betsy, man, you threw one on last Friday. You think these twigs grow on trees?
I know, but it's getting cold in here. There's icicles on the window.
So what? Ain't you never seen icicles on a window before?
Not on the inside, sire. Uh-oh, before I forget, the Widow Scratchit called this morning.
Scratchit. Is, she the widow of Willie Scratchit? Willie Scratchit?
Yeah. Gee,
you work to death squeezing limes in your lime house. She says you promised to pay her a pension of 2 pence a week.
Well, get rid of her, Godfrey. If I have to go around paying 2 pence a week to every widow in Wessex, I wouldn't have a pair of pence to me name. Besides, it ain't my fault if that husband of hers didn't save nothing out of what I gave him every week.
But, sire, how much can one save out of 10 lashes a week?
Bah, humbug.
But the widow's downstairs starving, sire. Can't we at least give her a piece of bread?
Oh, leave her starve. And poor people is all alike.
Greedy, huh, boss?
Yeah. Give them bread today and tomorrow they're back asking for water.
Yeah, but, sire, this is Christmas.
Christmas, how I hate it. Christmas trees, presents, happy people, goodwill. I hate Christmas.
Yeah, but why do you feel this way, sire?
I'll tell you why, Knave. Because I am a black-hearted, tight-fisted, bitter, stingy old skinflint. Oh, Duffy, not you, me. Now, where was I? Oh, yes, Godfrey. I think I shall hie me hence to bed.
Very good, Sour.
That's sire. Yes, Godfrey. I've done a hard day's dirty work today. It'll feel good to crawl in between them nice, clean sheets of newspaper. Well, good night, my man Godfrey.
Good night, sire.
Don't forget to blow out the twig.
Yes, sire.
Not so hard, you fool. That twig's got to last us all day tomorrow.
Sorry, sire.
Now to close one eye and get some sleep. Yeah, got a big day tomorrow. Got to sprinkle banana peels on the front steps of the old lady's home. Remember to get them chimes made softer. No sense in letting the neighbors hear the time for nothing.
Ebenezer Scrooge. Ebenezer Scrooge. Wake up.
Who's calling me? Who are you?
I am the spirit of Christmas.
Humbug.
I have come to show you the suffering that your stinginess is causing. I'm going to take you to the house of the Widow Scratchit. The next voice you hear will be that of the Widow Scratchit herself.
Oh, Tiny Tim. Tiny Tim.
Coming, Mother.
Tim, the flies are coming in, and we haven't got enough to eat ourselves.
Mommy, I am weak with hunger.
I know it, my poor boy.
Ain't we got nothing in the house? Even a crusted swyback?
Not even a herring. Tim, land sakes, this floor is cold. Where are your shoes? Come on, son, speak up. Where are your shoes? Tim, stop picking that leather out of your teeth and tell me, where are your shoes? Oh, Tim! Tim, you didn't eat them!
Of course I did, Mama. I am only a little tot. My body must have nourishment. Mama, why is Ebenezer Scrooge so wicked?
Oh, he isn't really wicked, son. He's just socially maladjusted. He hates to part with a buck.
Oh, yeah. Well, I still say it's wicked of him to starve a nice little boy like me to death.
Did you hear that, Ebenezer Scrooge? You have caused all this suffering with your stinginess.
Spirit, you got me dead to rights. All of a sudden, I behold how low I have sank.
Well, Ebenezer, what are you going to do about it?
I'm going to give 50,000 pounds to Tiny Tim and Mrs. Scratchit. And the rest of my money, I will give to nothing but orphan asylums. Every one of them, from Essex to Wessex, from Wessex to Sussex, and as far north as Norsex. And I want to thank you, Spirit of Christmas. You have lighted up the way for me. You have learned me that it is better to give than to receive.
Hello? Mrs. Duffy? Huh? He's over in the corner crying like a baby? Oh, get him over to the phone. We'll try to cheer him up. Come on, let's sing him a song, huh?
Yeah.
Hello, Duffy. Look, stop crying, will you? Well, I know, and we love you, too, but Christmas ain't supposed to be sad. Duffy, cheer up. Christmas is supposed to be gay. It's holly wreaths and Santa Claus and Prancer and Dancer and Dunder and Pilsner and... and jingle bells, Duffy.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in one horse open sleigh.
Just a second. Hey, does that make you feel better, Duffy? Huh? What a softy. He's crying harder than ever.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to leave Duffy's Tavern for this evening, but let's meet here again at this same time next Friday night. In the meantime, if you have a cold, remember Minute Rub. And for well-groomed hair, remember Vitalis. Did you know this? The Egyptians of long ago shaved themselves with seashells. Yes, and shell razors must have been mighty hard on a man's face. Of course, even today with the most modern razors, shaving can still be painful for men with tender faces. But now there's Ingram Shaving Cream. That rich Ingram lather helps condition your face for the razor. You enjoy cool, soothing shaves. You better try Ingram yourself. Remember, comfort means coolness. Coolness means Ingram. I-N-G-R-A-M. Ingram, the cooler shaving cream. The National Broadcasting Company.
Okay, let's get some of the major things out of the way. I should have mentioned this before. I have been working hard on a new store with the T Public quality I was not really that pleased with. So I've been recommended to go through a Printful and WooCommerce, all this other stuff, to where I've had to build the store completely myself. And not every product I try to make, it gets crossed over very well. So I am still short some products that I would like to have. I have not figured out how to make buttons available or sweaters available. So I'm having trouble, but I've got much more stuff, but I'm working on getting where what love is based on biblical verses, what love is truly defined as. And I've got a few more of those out. You can get it on mugs. You can get it on T-shirts. You can get our logo. I'm going to get some stuff for watching movies with my pastor. If you go to NeverlandPodcast.com and click on the shops, it'll take you right to the page. Makes great Christmas gifts, although you're probably running short on time to order it for Christmas. I actually ordered something to kind of test it out, and it hasn't shown up yet. But I'm hoping everything works with this, because I had to try to figure out to set the proper prices with shipping and stuff and make sure it all works right. But you can really help out the show by ordering some stuff. You get some fun merch and everything. It's fun to buy for other people because it's Christmas. Even if it shows up after Christmas, you know, it's still fun stuff. And there's even a blanket that is a keep a picture in your pocket thing that I've designed. I've got some of my own designs, some stuff that's our logo, some of course, these verses. Just go check out the shop. And if there's something that associated with the show that you would like to have something, let me know. Send me an email, podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. I'll see if I can get that arranged for you and get that made. Because I've got a lot of stuff that I haven't done yet. Or if you see something you like, and like, hey, why I would like this available on this item, I'll see if I can get that for you and make that available to you. So just let me know. I'm still building the store, and I can make almost anything. It's where TeePublic, you generally put a design up, and you can put it on all the stuff right there. I'm having trouble getting it, any of the designs to be on an Apple phone case. I don't know why it's not working. There's some mysteries I have not yet solved on why certain things are just not working. Buttons, stickers, can't get it to work. Don't know why. I would like to have some buttons available. I might have to have some alternate methods to get to it. I'll figure it out at some point. But we didn't mention Dubby, of course. We go to the website, go to Dubby. It's energy drink. It might have that cocoa bean instead of for you know, instead of caffeine. I don't know. I haven't really looked at all their ingredients, but it's a healthy stuff, not getting any of the jitters. And I do, of course, remind you about Podgagement. If you happen to have a podcast, it's a great service. It's gone up in price since I first got it, but it's still worth every penny to get all your reviews and all the fun features that Dan and Jay Lewis is putting in their Podgagement. And, of course, using the links there on my website, neverlandpodcast.com, I get a little kickback and you get a discount. So it works out good for everybody. But we do want to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren Will Hyde of the Will Hyde and Wall Show for helping me out with the intro. Remember that podcast at neverlandpodcast.com email address so you can get a hold of me. We're on X or Twitter at Neverland PCast. We're also on Facebook at Neverland Podcast or the Fandom Nexus. Search for us. You'll find us. We have a group and a fan page, and the group is more interactive. Get a lot of fun stuff from Diz Radio over there, which I don't know. I thought we were bringing that back. I haven't made a thing for Diz Radio in a while now. But yeah, that's still going on. You can become an exclusive member through Red Circle right there in your show notes on how to do that. Also become a patron on Patreon. You get bonus episodes. You get bonus videos on Patreon, and it helps out the show and I appreciate it. And I want to wish you all a great Merry Christmas, a happy holiday, a happy Hanukkah, a happy New Year and everything. If I don't get a chance to later, although I think I'm going to re-air a couple of old episodes, over the next week, or at least get the audio of, reading the Christmas story that we did one time and also reading the Night Before Christmas, which I think we did a couple years ago. I gotta find the audio. I'm sure it's in there somewhere. I'm going to share that with you next week because it's good stuff and it'll be fun and I think you'll enjoy it. So make sure you come back next week. But until next week, get lost in the holiday magic. We'll see you.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.